I suppose you know what's going to happen next now, right? Our Lord just was on the top of the mountain, made his apostles, came down and healed all these people. And what's the next thing that happens in Luke's gospel? Right? Sermon on the Mount. But it's not on the mount in Luke. It's on the plain. Anyway, there's so much there, but I think we'll start with the first reading anyway. This is one of those remarkable texts where Paul, who has been so endowed with mystical understanding of reality, starts to teach us. And he says, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him. What does that mean? How do we walk in Christ? Who is Christ? There'll be these spatial images coming on. In other words, you see, what's being understood is the incarnation. God is in this man. This man is God incarnate. God has taken on matter. God has taken on flesh. And not just flesh in some sort of inanimate sense, but a human flesh with feelings, with memory, with voice, with love, with affections. God has done this. And Paul holds this up as the antidote to all the voodoo, all the cultivating of cosmic forces, all the truck with demons to make us safe and harm our enemies. It still goes on. That's the elemental forces of this world. Paul says, don't you understand? God Almighty is working through the flesh of Jesus Christ, who died, was quit of any form of fleshly existence that wasn't purely radiant and transformed by God. He submitted to death in order to break the power of death. So we have this vision. I started on it and I said, oh my goodness, how can we ever understand this? Pray. See to it that no one captivate you with an empty, seductive philosophy. It's got nothing wrong with philosophy, but empty, seductive philosophy. Philosophia. Now we're in this world, right? And we're in this part of the world which gave us philosophy. Thales, Anaximander, all of them, you know. Followed by the great ones, Plato and Aristotle, and the wonder of those minds. But, as always, there are people not looking for philosophia, the love of Sophia, but they're looking for power, maybe because they're frightened. They need something to protect them from all these forces around. And anybody who doesn't think these forces are around is nuts. They are. You see? And people are afraid of them. And Paul is saying, our Lord came, died and rose, broke the back on that whole demonic cosmic system. It's over. Come into Christ. Feed on his body and blood. And as the world drifts away from Christ, all these things appear because people are frightened. I don't think there was one major atheist thinker, scientist, or philosopher of the last two or three centuries who didn't also have truck with the occult. Why? If you've got half a brain and you look at this world with the forces in it, I need protection. I've got to cultivate some force that will protect me. And there he is. Now, Paul's language is difficult. And I promise I won't keep you over time. But, you see, empty, seductive, according to the traditions of men, according to the elemental powers, translation here, the stichia, like, those are the basics, like the alphabet, stichia, the basic elements of this world, huh? And not according to Christ. For in him dwells the whole fullness of the deity bodily. He has come and entered this physical world. And in him, the divinity dwells bodily. You can shake hands with God. Now it goes much deeper than that, huh? And you share in this fullness in him. In him, in Christ. And why do we talk about in Christ? What do we mean by in Christ? Incorporated into his physical being and surrounded by his divine power. That's the church. You see? Who is the head of every principality and power? Those who are with him and those who are against him. He's the head of all of them. He's trying to break their fear of voodoo. In him, you were circumcised. Now, he's going to take the death of Christ as a circumcision, like a cutting off of being slaves to these forces, you see. You were circumcised with a circumcision not administered by hand. By stripping off the carnal body with the circumcision of Christ, which is baptism. That's what cuts off this stuff. A carnal body is a body driven by the drives of this world. Fear, anger, ambition, hatred, sensuality, perversion, revenge. Those things coursing through our psychosomatic system, that's the body of flesh. And Paul says, that was cut off from you when you were baptized. I was thinking, well, I understand why he had such a hard time. I mean, he's inspired to teach the world about this. And these metaphors, these realities, they're not just happy images. They're fact, you know. If this is a happy image, then so is this. Okay. And when you were dead in transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, and now he's starting to profit by that image of circumcision, you see. Already, you know, in the book of Deuteronomy, he's circumcised in your heart, cut away what's excess. Get rid of it. You see? He brought you to life with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Now do you see how he tries to penetrate? I know this is difficult early in the morning, but I couldn't let it go by. I mean, like, this is the text for today. You see? It's this vision that the truly spiritual man is physical. Because, here, look, we got bodies. And these bodies have an eternal destiny. So that means, I couldn't avoid it, we were saying the psalm, and in the psalm it says, our flesh, no, our earth has yielded its fruit. What's the fruit of the earth? Jesus Christ. our earth, through Mary's body, has given birth, yielded, God incarnate. You have no idea how important this is and how people tend to get spiritual. Teresa of Avila, 2 minutes. Teresa of Avila said, I know people think in mysticism you leave the humanity of Christ. They're crazy. That's the way to fall into the trap of the devil. She had pictures of Jesus, bad ones too sometimes, in all her books, so she could always remember that God came to her in flesh to redeem us and take away our anger about flesh, our fear of flesh, our self-indulgence about flesh. You see, the forces that course through this cosmos, and they course, and some are demonic, and they're cut off. And that's, you see, obliterating the bond against us with its legal claims. Whatever of the law still is fleshly, is cut off. Removed it from our midst, nailing it to the cross. He had a physical body that could feel pain and could die. And in dying, he broke the bonds of all this forces. And as we move away from Christ as a world, we are more and more enslaved by these things. You see, nailing it to the spoiling, and now he goes after the big demons, the principalities and the powers, and made a public spectacle of them, leading them away in triumph by what? By the cross, making a mockery of all that pseudo-power of the fallen angels and all the way you can manipulate this earth. There's a book I have upstairs, this very brilliant book, who goes through all these guys. What's the collective unconscious guy? Jung. And the way they fiddle around with demons. Why? Because they're scared to death. Literally. And we're not, dumb as we are, don't know left hand from right, but we've been freed from that fear in Christ. And we're in Christ. He's our atmosphere. He's our body. I got to quit. This is a tough text, but I couldn't let it go by. Why? Because the whole world is moving back into this. And we have to first make sure we don't get involved in it, and second, get people out of it. You understand? So let's pray.